The Splendor of You. Here is your host, Debbie Sansone Schlaprisi.
Hi, I'm Debbie Schlaprisi. Welcome to The Splendor of You. I want to read you a wonderful quote from Henry Newman. It's from his beautiful book, The Return of the Prodigal Son. And again, this is by Henry Newman. As for a very long time, I considered low self-esteem to be some kind of virtue. I had been warned so often against pride and conceit that I came to consider it a good thing to deprecate myself. But now I realize that the real sin is to deny God's first love for me, to ignore my original goodness. Because without claiming that first love and that original goodness for myself, I lose touch with my true self, and I embark on the destructive search among the wrong people and in the wrong places for what can only be found in the house of my Father. I have this beautiful quote. I have it in the beginning of my book, Splendor View, and I just had a wonderful retreat with Father David McConey, and it was wonderful. And part of that retreat was this quote. And then I'm reading the book once again by Father Jacques Philippe, Interior Freedom. And the quote is repeated again in there. So it seems to me that that's something that's necessary to share again and again. Because as Father Jacques Philippe says in his book, Interior Freedom, when we see ourselves with God's eyes, we experience tremendous freedom. And I love this. Listen to what he says here. It could be called a double freedom, to be sinners and to become saints. The freedom to be sinners doesn't mean that you and I, that we're free to sin without worrying about the consequences. Because, as Father Jacques Philippe points out, that wouldn't be freedom, that would be irresponsibility. But what it does mean is, we are not crushed by the fact of being sinners, nor are our eyes closed to the fact that we are made in the image and likeness of Jesus, and He loves us right where we are. Father Jacques Philippe says we have a sort of right to be poor, the right to be what we are. God knows our weaknesses and our infirmities, but He is not scandalized by them, and He doesn't condemn us. So, my friends, you and I, once again, as Father points out, we don't feel the pressure that sometimes comes from other people or the way we judge ourselves. Because we realize, you know what? What did Jesus say? He said, you know, remember, man, that you were dust. We know who we are, and we also know how Jesus loves us. So we don't have to worry, have that pressure, you know, that forever guilt of not measuring up to some expectation or standard. Or we don't have to feel that pressure that sometimes comes from other people or the way we may judge ourselves. What do we tell ourselves sometimes? I can never be good enough. I messed up again. Oh my gosh. And then, of course, my friends, you know, the next step is we think, well, I've already messed up here. You know, why push it? I might as well just let it go downhill the whole way. It's already messed up. That is never from God. That is always, always, always from the Father of liars. Absolutely always from Him. That sense of making us permanently dissatisfied with ourselves. And as I said, that Father Jacques Philippe says, always guilty for not measuring up to some expectation or standard. That is not our Jesus. You know, on this retreat, it was so amazing because Father cited that Old Testament scripture from Jeremiah. It's such a beautiful one. If you have been at all involved in pro-life, you'll see it very often. But this weekend, it just really struck me because basically it's this. This is what it's Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And my friends, this really jumped out at me on retreat this past week because, in fact, I began to cry. And I'm not even sure why I did, but it was just realizing so much that Jesus really thinks that I'm a good idea. He thinks you are. He formed you. Before he even formed you, he knew you. He knew you before he formed you. That meant you were worth forming. You were a great idea. You had wonderful traits. There's a blueprint for you that's for a winner. And it just hit me. That's me. That's me. And it's such a big deal to know that, you know what? Jesus knows you. Not the perfect you, not the perfect me. Jesus loves real people right where we are. Jesus liked me. He liked me as me, and he likes you as you. He had to. Or otherwise, my friends, he wouldn't have gone on to make you or to make me, to form us. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jesus doesn't form junk. He doesn't form bad stuff. There's almost a responsibility with that in knowing, wait a minute, I can't fall back on that whole victim thing of I'm not good enough. No, because God, with Jesus, I can be all things. He does it, not me. He does it. You and I have to somehow come to grips with the fact that Jesus loves us. Because without it, we can't love anyone else. We can't love ourselves, and we can't love others. He loves you. He likes you. Just get used to the idea. It's the truth, and it's a fact. You and I don't get to do the will of God. And I love this. Father McConey said, you know, we don't get to doing the will of God by gritting our teeth. We get there by realizing that I'm unable to do anything without God. Nothing. This radio show, right now, whatever you're about this moment, maybe you're at work or the grocery store or you're driving or you're just breathing, you're preparing a meal, repairing, organizing, planning, operating. You and I, my friends, we can do nothing on our own. God has to do it through us. But you know, our Lord is a gentleman. He waits for an invitation. An invitation to say, Jesus, please come into my life. Take over. Let me become all that you created me to be. Let me be who you know me to be. You say you knew me before you formed me. Let me become all of that. Do you ever come across, you know, beautiful prayers by the saints and think to yourself, I can't do that. I can't do that. Well, I have to tell you about a story for me, because that's exactly what happened to me this weekend. I was reading some beautiful prayers by St. Ignatius, and as I was reading them, I could tell that I was just getting frustrated. I mean, one of the prayers, and St. Ignatius was basically saying, you know, there's this level and that level and then another level. I wasn't even making it to the first level, but it didn't discourage me because I love St. Ignatius. And he gets the human spirit. But here's what was going on for me. As I was reading those prayers, I thought, I can't pray these prayers of asking for suffering, of asking to be marginalized as Jesus was. And I thought, I'm just not there. I'm not there where so many of the saints were that sincerely prayed these prayers. And I thought, here I am. I'm just me. And I'm asking God to give me the grace to transform me inside. So often, you know, I look to the outside for changes. What can I change on the outside part of my life? But so often it's all about Jesus changing the inside. And certainly there's room for the outside. But my friends, the real changes go on within you and me, and they're done by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, in the past, I've always been very frustrated that I can't pray this way or that way, you know. I don't have enough trust or enough holiness or enough faith or enough strength or whatever it is, enough, enough, enough. But here's the thing that I do realize now, and I hope you do as well, because it's the truth of our faith. And that is that just because I'm not in those places where I'd like to be, I haven't reached sanctity, I'm not a loser because I can't. I'm not a loser because I can't say that prayer. And before, I used to feel that way. Maybe I didn't use that word for myself, but that's how I felt. I was frustrated. I was disappointed. I thought, I'm not going to make the grade. But that's not it at all. God loves you and me right where we are. He's not finished with us yet. He likes you. He likes me. He loves you. He says to you, I knew you before I formed you. He gets you, your personality, your hurts, your disappointments. And you know what? You and I can pray for what we truly desire. We can be specific with our Lord. We can trust Him. He already knows it anyway. So why not just share? Share honestly where you are. And obviously for all of us, we pray, Lord, please grant us the desires, the deep desires of our heart. And Jesus, let us never desire anything that is outside of what you call for us. My friends, you and I can be honest with our Lord. And in fact, not being honest with him is just such a lie. It's such a hypocrisy. It's such a cover-up. We can be authentic. We can be real. He knows we're not perfect. He gets it. We just have to realize that it's okay, that our perfection is not going to come from us. It's going to come from the grace of God. And by realizing, Lord, I am nothing without you. Yes, I am made in your image and likeness, and I have value and I have dignity. And Lord, my sanctity is in your hands. I invite you in. Please, Jesus, please make me all you created me to be. So this part of making us all we're created to be, you know, here we are in the midst of Lent. And Lent is a time, as my son-in-law, my awesome son-in-law, Craig, said to me, he reminded me, and it was just a few hours ago, he said, about Lent is a time, you know, to refocus on our relationship with God and to ask him to give us the grace. Ask him to give you the grace to be all his blueprint shows. The blueprint of you, ask him to give you the grace to absolutely live out of that blueprint. Everything he made you to be, everything that he has made you to be, can be done in the exact circumstances and people that are in your life at this time. You know, Father reminded us, don't think that your holiness, oh my, if I was just born during the time of when Jesus walked this planet, I'd be in a much holier place. I think to myself, gee, if I, you know, was around and I was the really great friend of St. Mary Magdalene, oh, then I could be holy. No, my friends, that is a lie. Jesus uses us right where we are, right where we are, in the circumstances of where we are, with the people who surround us. That's where God uses us, okay? In our exact circumstances and the folks or the lack of folks in our lives, He transforms you and me within if we just give Him permission. And Lent is a good time to remind ourselves of who we are. You know, we are God's creature. We can go to Him with the fact that He knows me, so I don't have to try to hide from the fact that I can't pray a certain way. It's like He knows me. He knows that I can get a little crazy being confined in one space. He gets that about me. He knows that. I don't have to fight that part of me. And just as Father said, grit my teeth. No, I realize that He loves me. God is like a GPS. Father told us that, and I just loved it. He recalculates when we go the wrong way. You know, God calls you and me to be more. Remember, He knows you. He's not held back by bad memories, mistakes. He sees you clearly through the good moments and the heartache. So here it is, the beginning of Lent. And maybe you're still struggling on what to do. Are you maybe feeling like you're cut off? You've cut off more than you can chew. Are your, you know, fervency isn't what it was? So I know that for myself, it was really helpful, very helpful during Lent. I've been stuck. And I just said, Blessed Mother, will you help me? Show me what to do. And my friends, she's such a great prayer partner. I know you know that, but she truly is. So think about just going to Our Lady, right now, in the midst of what you might be involved in. And Blessed Mother, please help us to make this a beautiful Lent. Help us to open ourselves up to the grace of God so that we can do and become all God created us to be and to do. So here you are in Lent, and you're calling on Our Lady, and it's like, okay, now what? What do we do now? And I can say to you that when I was praying to her, I was asking about some thoughts, and I was talking to one of my daughters who has a lot on her plate. And it occurred to me as we were praying that, it occurred to me as we were speaking, that as she talked, it was about, how about this Lent, right now, wherever you might be, how about taking a day, or at least a half a day, to take a step back, you know, to rest. And you might be thinking, well, what do I do with that? My daughter said, you know, Mom, I have to have more structure. I just can't just say, well, go have a day of prayer. But maybe if you took that half a day and you just made a visit to Blessed Sacrament, perhaps got to daily Mass. This is for men as well as women. Pray your rosary. Perhaps you would be willing to just talk to Jesus from your heart, from your heart. Not being worried whether it sounds good enough or not, just right where you are. And to rest, no news, no have to of a litany of prayers, just you and Jesus, and rest. You might be willing to consider doing that like weekly or bi-weekly during Lent. You know, rest is a huge thing. We live in a culture right now that is just 24/7 of everything, everything. That whole idea of where our culture is, it's buzzing. There's no quiet. There's no rest. 24/7 social media, news, music, movies, whatever. And it's all at our disposal. And look at the result, friends. Look at it. Division, suicide, depression, stress, isolation, anger, unhappiness. It's a mess. There's a lot to be said for rest. It shouldn't be understated. And when we think about it, you know, our Lord gave a full day to it in the whole plan of creation. That's not a bad model, all right? As I was struggling with Lent and what to do, it was like all of a sudden I went to Our Lady and I thought, what am I going to do? You know, I'm really struggling with what this should look like. And then I thought, it came to me to do something, I'm going to share that with you now, that is completely changed my mood, and honestly, my life has literally been transformed. And what it is, it has to do with rest, because it has to do with an earlier bedtime. I avoid the late night news, a movie or whatever, you know, working on my computer, whatever it might be that I might be pushing in late night. And instead, I'm in bed at a decent hour. For me, it was a promise to be in bed at 10 o'clock or as close to that as possible. And I plan my day that night, the night before. And friends, that avoiding that late night news or that late night movie or that late night work has given me such a new lease on life each day. It's shocking. And part of that is that I use something called the Monk's Manual, which is the night before preparing for what the next day will be. And it's amazing, because I ask the Holy Spirit, give me direction on what tomorrow is to look like, how I'm to navigate it, what I'm to do. And then it allows you the next day to really live into that day. And it has just been, I can only tell you, it's really been incredible. And it's something worthwhile. So I encourage you that if you're at a loss right now, or you're not feeling it, you're not feeling Lent, you know, it's not the fervor you wanted, there's not the closeness, take a little time to step back. Just step back and be with our Lord. You know, rest. No more pushing. No more pushing. Just stopping back and resting. And so we began this show with the whole idea of realizing that Jesus loves us. And I want to give you one more quote, because it really struck me. And it again is, it's Father Jacques Philippe in his book, Interior Freedom. And it's, You know, learning to love ourselves correctly, fully accepting ourselves just as we are, that the most important thing in our lives is not so much what we can do as leaving room for what God can do. The great secret of all spiritual fruitfulness and growth is learning to let God act. As John 15:5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. The person that Jesus wants to touch and to transform with his love is not the person that you and I would like to be or we think we ought to be. It's the person that we are. It's who we are right now. See, God doesn't just love, as Father Jacques Philippe points out, the ideal person or virtual beings. He loves actual, real people. And I have to tell you a story about my dad. It's so cool because when I was reading this, my dad passed away just less than a year ago. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of him. And the more time that goes by, the more I realize his wisdom and his truth. And I have to tell you the story. It's so great because it's so about Dad realizing that he wasn't perfect and God was God and he was who he was and knowing that God loved him right where he was. And my dad died. Pop was just shy of 94. So I'm thinking that this story took place. Dad was probably around 90. And I was at a Blessed Sacrament chapel in my hometown and one that's open to the public. And my dad, whenever he was in town, always frequented. He went to the Blessed Sacrament chapel whenever he was in town every day. So I'm in adoration and I'm praying and I'm, and all of a sudden I hear this sound, psst. And frankly, it scared me, like I jumped and I'm thinking, what? And I was annoyed. And I turned and there's my dad, probably like I said, about 89 or 90. And he's sitting on the pew and he's smiling. And I said to him, Dad, and he's smiling. I mean, he's getting a kick out of himself because he knew he sort of scared me and I was surprised. And anyway, we had this little fun thing of humor that goes between the two of us. And so he's smiling, and I look at him, and I go, Pop, I go, shh, you have to be quiet in here. And he looks at me, and he looks up at our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. It was almost like he was just processing for a moment what I said, just a moment, let me tell you, only a moment. And with that, he looked at me, and he goes, what? He goes, Jesus? He goes, oh, don't worry. He and I are friends. And he just leaned back with both of his arms on the pew, those beautiful hands of his just dangling down at the pew, smiling and looking up at our Lord. And I turned around and I started laughing to myself and I thought, Jesus, he's even buddies with you. And when I say he's even buddies with you, what I'm thinking is that for me, it's sort of like, oh, I had to speak a certain way or say a certain prayer. But my dad, after almost 90 years, had learned he could be fully himself. One day he with our Lord, fully himself. And let me just be clear. My dad always, always was cognizant and made it clear who was God and who wasn't. He knew God was God and he was the Son. And he also knew that God loved him and that he could be fully himself. And it was just beautiful. One time we got in a conversation. I said, well, Dad, I don't know. You know, I mean, the Lord, what about this and this? And he said to me, honey, he said, if that's the case, he said, then when I see the good Lord, we'll have to really talk about it. Because the way I see it now, and the conversations I've had with him now, this is the right way to go. Now, it was never anything contrary to faith. These were just matters, you know, where one would be thinking and wondering, does God want me to do this or that, or how does it work? And my pop was so comfortable that he said, if it's not, we'll have to talk about it when we see each other. Dad had a belief and a faith and a confidence that Jesus loved him right where he is, as a sinner and as his son. And it was awesome and it inspired me. So my friends, as you and I go on through Lent, let's realize we are really loved. right where we are, not in some perfect place, not as somebody other than who we are, but where we are. As St. Francis de Sales would say, never wish to be anyone but yourself, and do that perfectly. In closing, there's a beautiful song, and Leona Lewis is singing it. It's entitled Footprints in the Sand. It's a little slow in the beginning, but hold on, and maybe begin that time of rest right now, and just take a real deep breath, and for this moment, just be you, right where you are, knowing that there's a God who knows you, who knew you, and then he formed you, who believes in you, who loves you, who understands that you and I have concerns, worries, sins, and he is our Redeemer. God bless you and enjoy Footprints in the Sand. Thanks for tuning in to The Splendor of You. That's www.splendorofyou.com. God bless you and happy Lent.
This has been The Splendor of You with Debbie Sansone-Schlaprezy.